Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The feast of the dedication was taking place in Jerusalem. It was winter. And Jesus walked about in the temple area on the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we come to the third day of the Sacred Triduum within the Easter season, focusing on Jesus' relationship to us as good shepherd to good sheep. That relationship that's supposed to be so transformative that we're able to become images of the good shepherd and go out and care for others. We're grateful for this interrogation Jesus endured in the portico of Solomon, because it educed from Jesus 6 lessons about how he relates to us as sheep. They reinforce and add to the 5 that we pondered yesterday. Jesus said to the interrogators, "You do not believe because you are not among my sheep." A lot of the times we think that first comes faith and then comes following the Good Shepherd. Jesus flips it around here. The reason he says they don't believe is because they're not among his sheep. We became Jesus' sheep on the day of our baptism. Before, for most of us, if we were baptized as kids, we were capable of making conscious acts of following. It shows the divine gratuity that God gives us this gift first. It's not just an act on our own part. It's always a reaction to God's holy action. We've got to be open to receive that gift, and that was one of the issues here. But it begins with being the Lord's sheep, and that's the way we're called to intensify that gift of faith, to recognize already a sense of belonging to the Lord. And when we belong, that's when he's able to do his good thing. That Latin aphorism I've mentioned on a few occasions in the past, talking about the process of healing by faith, salva ambulando, that the Lord saves as we journey, like we see in the healing of the grateful leper. Next principle, my sheep hear my voice. That a good sheep of the Lord is constantly trying to listen to his gentle whisper. The way that he speaks to us in sacred scripture, we hang on every word that comes from God's mouth. The way he whispers to us interiorly in prayer. The way he speaks to us through others, religious superiors, religious inferiors, through strangers we meet on the street, that we're constantly trying to attune ourselves to the way that the Lord, who's constantly speaking to us the words of eternal life, speaks. A good sheep is one who assiduously and attentively listens. That whole word obedience comes from eavesdropping, to listen so intentively that when we hear that word, we seek to obey. That's what characterizes a good sheep who relates to the good shepherd who has these life-giving words with all his ears, all his heart, all his mind. Third, I know them. The good shepherd knows his sheep. And this gives us great consolation. He knows everything about us. Nothing's hidden from us, as the great psalm says. He knows when we're asleep and when we're awake. He knows everything about us, and he calls us with love. So we've got nothing to be afraid of. He knows us. And we've got to allow ourselves to be known and exist in that relationship of mutual knowledge. In St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus describes about those who ate with him, who watched his miracles in the streets, who performed mighty deeds in his name. But at the end, they'll be knocking at the door, and the one on the flip side of the door, the Lord will say, tragically, I never knew you. I never knew you. Even though you were doing all of these, you weren't essentially my sheep, because you weren't living in this type of relationship. It was all external, extrinsic, rather than interior. The Lord knows us interiorly and wants us to allow ourselves to be known through that same divine knowledge. What a gift that is. And they follow me. Fourth point. Our faith is fundamentally dynamic. Jesus never says, stay exactly where you are. I don't want you to change. He's constantly calling us and saying, come up, let's go. Saying, come to me with all your burdens and labors. Come to me with all your fatigue and rest for a while. And then go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, go to the whole world. But we never do that apart from the Lord. We're coming with the Lord, we're going with the Lord, interiorly yoked. But Jesus' sheep are always on the move. Move toward him and with him, toward those to whom he has intended himself. This is depicted very powerfully in one of my favorite scenes in Rome, which is the facade of St. Paul's outside the wall. You see that scene in which you've got the bejeweled cross at the top saying, Ave, O Crux Spezunica, Hail Cross, our only hope. And you've got, as the old iconography works, a whole bunch of complementary images of the Lord Jesus working down a vertical axis, saying that they're all mutually interpretive. So underneath that, you have Jesus sitting on his throne with an open book with the words in Latin, I know my sheep. Then you've got a scene from the first and the last books of the Bible about the lamb on the top of a mountain looking as if he has been slain, with the four waters running down. And those waters are coming out, and those who are like deer yearning for flowing waters start to come. But you've got 12 sheep there, all coming toward the lamb, all drinking. 12, because it symbolizes first that the apostles, before they were shepherds, were first sheep. And they were incapable of being good shepherds without first being sheep. Now they were coming to drink of the Lord so that they could go on out and help the whole world who has been given the same thirst to know to whose open side they need to come and drink to the dregs. But we see the action of those sheep moving as they come to the Lord and then out, strengthened by the Lord. Jesus' sheep are always moving in this way, following the Lord wherever the lamb goes. I give them eternal life, Jesus says. And then he adds something that, if we misunderstand what eternal life means, would seem contradictory, almost impossible. Jesus says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. If our notion of eternal life was exclusively for the next world, of course they would never perish. But Jesus is indicating here that he gives us his eternal life now. And that life has a protective quality to it. He gives us himself, who is the eternal life. He gives us the knowledge of the Father that he himself has his Son. This is eternal life, that you may know the Lord and the one whom he has sent, he'd say earlier in St. John. Jesus gives us himself, and when we enter into communion with him who is the resurrection and the life, even death is just a change of address. We will never perish because of that life-giving love he gives. And then the last, no one can take them out of my hand, because no one can take them out of the Father's hand, and the Father has placed them in mine. It's essentially what Jesus is saying. What an extraordinary gift this is, and a means of spiritual confidence. That when the Lord grasps onto us, nobody's stronger. He is the stronger man who has overcome the strong one and divided his spoils, as Jesus says every first week of October to us. The only way we leave that hand is if we're enticed and consent to that enticement to leave. But even when that happens, and it does, the Lord's merciful hands are still open, waiting for us to return, to come back, to receive what we need from that good shepherd who will heal our wounds. These six things, sisters, really do help us to appreciate our own relationship to the Lord as sheep. But then they flip around, because the Lord wants so to care for us as his sheep that he's able to send us out as good shepherds. So that we might, in our following the Lord in faith, give others an example so that they can grow in faith. So that we're able to share our own being known by the Lord and our own knowing the Lord, teaching people mystagogically rather than pedagogically a little bit of what the Christian life is all about. That's why we fascinate people, because they're fascinated by God and they want to come to those who know him. So we need to be humble enough to share some of those gifts that the Lord has given so that others might come to know him too. We follow the Lord and we seek to help others to follow the Lord all the way home to the eternal sheepfold. Rejoicing in the gift of eternal life, we hunger to allow others to have that immortal medicine so that they and we may never perish, because that's why Jesus came into the world. And then to recognize in our hands something of the strength of God's hands, that when we are in the Lord's hands in the extension of his mystical body, we can have confidence that if we grip people in him, that the Lord himself will do everything that he can to overcome the temptations that are seeking them to leave that loving embrace. Today in the first reading, we see two who lived this double mystery, who came to the Lamb and drank to the dregs, and then went out as extraordinary shepherds of the early church. We begin with Barnabas, who St. Luke says was a good man, filled with the Holy Spirit and with faith. Such an important figure in the early church. He was the one who wasn't afraid of Paul. And he was the one, when Paul's life was first being threatened in Jerusalem, got him to go back to Tarsus. But doubtless Barnabas was looking for an opportunity to unleash all the charismatic gifts that the Holy Spirit had given Paul. So when he went up to Antioch to strengthen both the Jews and the Greeks in faith, after seeing how it was teeming, he needed help, and he knew just who could do it. And there's a beautiful thing, as we see in the relationship with Paul and Barnabas as it grows. Paul was the superstar here. Paul was so gifted. So many of the others were insecure around Paul, not just because he used to eat Christians alive, but because he was so much smarter. He was so gifted. So they didn't know what to do with him. Barnabas wasn't afraid to surround himself by somebody who was better, greater, more capable of teaching and instruction, more well-formed. because he was thinking about these much loved sheep of the Lord and what would be the best means for them to come to know the love of the Lord, to learn how to follow the Lord, to know how never to leave the Lord's hands. So he went up to Tarsus and got the tent maker and brought him back. For a year they instructed. Paul himself had been called by the Lord and had become over the course of time a good shepherd and began to know the Lord so intimately that as he would write to the church in Galatia, he was able to experience the Lord's personal love, saying that the life he now lives, he lives by faith in the one who loves him and gave his life up for him. The two of them helped form, as good shepherds, these sheep in Antioch in such a way that they were the first ones to be called little Christs, little Jesuses, Christians. It's an image of the type of transformation that's supposed to occur in us. That as others around us are drawn by the Good Shepherd himself, these Cypriots and Cyrenians just show up and start evangelizing because the categories of those who had been sent to Antioch were just preaching to the Jews, but the Good Shepherd worked outside of those limitations. And then new people are being added. And so then they go on up and they begin to form, such that others are able to go up and bring other sheep, and others are able to go out and bring other sheep. That's the way that the passing on of the gift of the faith happens. The Good Shepherd continues to work, opening up his hands and letting those hands continue to grow. Today, as we come forward to this Good Shepherd who meets us each morning, we recognize that we believe because he has made us his sheep, that we hear his voice speaking to us live each morning in sacred scripture, that he knows us and wants us to come to that same self-knowledge, that we seek to follow him today, and he wants to make it easy, not just follow on the outside, but follow on the inside, constantly turning, converting with the Lord. That is, he gives us himself in Holy Communion, he is giving us his life to the full. And this is a down payment on the truth that we will never perish. And he grips us with his hands on the inside, grips our minds, our hearts, our soul, our strength, in such a way that he never wants to let us go. Rejoicing in this gift, let us with all the nations praise the Lord.